So, all right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what part of the world you're in as we are speaking. This Zoom study is number four for 2024, and wow, how the time goes by so fast. We're going to begin a new series today, and asking what I believe is a very important question. And the question is, why angels? Why angels? In seeking after God about direction for our study over the next several weeks, I felt drawn to something that fascinated me, that has fascinated me for many years, not because of the mystique or the mystery about angels, but because of how important they are to the church. As well as how ignorant the church has been about something that the Bible talks about quite a lot. If I'm understanding God's word correctly, angels will play a very significant role in the last day harvest. It's my sincere conviction, the better we understand their role, and how God uses angels, the more effective we will be as the church, especially working with them in partnership, allowing them to assist us as the scripture says that they will. I'm not sure how many weeks the study will go, this particular series will go. Neither do I believe that we're going to exhaust our study today. However, I know that God is going to lead us. I know with all of my heart, I believe with all of my heart, I have heard from the Lord that I've just not just pulled this topic or these lessons out randomly. I actually first taught on this subject in December of 2008 when we were in Malaysia speaking at the DCD conference hosted by Tabernacle of Joy, Singapore. Pastor Doji, who I believe is on the call today, I'm quite sure, sir, that you were there, you and your wife both, along with many of the people from Joy Fellowship. Possibly others, from Singapore or Malaysia that may be on the study right now, or, you're watching it by recording. You very well could have been there as well. God help us all to continue to have great expectations for how God is going to use us in these last days. As challenging as our world is today, and the crisis that some of you are actually going through literally as we speak, this is an exciting time to be not just in the church, but to be the church. If this is your first time to join our Zoom study, either live or by recording, and we do have many who tell me they listen to the recordings very, very every week. Please know we're honored that you've taken the time to be with us. Also know I don't take your presence on these studies each week for granted. And last but not least, if there's anyone that you feel would benefit from these studies, will you please forward the Zoom link to them? We'd love to have them join. I see Sister Yuta, Brother Mitch Sarah's wife is on the study. Is Brother Mitch on the study? Did he come on? Haven't seen him yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. Sister Yuta, is he coming on? Do you know?
I gotta ask him. One moment.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Again, if there's someone that you feel would benefit from these studies, please forward the Zoom link then to them, and we'd love to have them join us. Amen. Amen. Pastor Donahue?
He's coming, Brother Ellis.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Sister Yuta.
Yeah.
Brother Donahue, would you lead us in prayer today? Would you open your voice, unmute, and just lead us in prayer today?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we love and appreciate you. We thank you for those that have gathered here today. We thank you for the heart of preparation that you've done with our bishop today. Let him speak with boldness, clarity, understanding. Let us receive your word gladly. We're so grateful for you. And we even in this call, God, miracles, signs, and wonders are still, they can happen even now, Lord. We're thankful for you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. God, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Mitch, you should be good to go, sir. I just put you on as translator. So good to see you. Sorry to have your wife have to chase you down, but hey, that happens. You know what I'm saying? Anybody on the call that hasn't had their wife have to chase them down? Just the ladies. That's the only ones that haven't had their wife. All right. Well, again, the subject for our study today is asking a question, why angels? This will be part one of the study. Today, I'm a little, well, I'll just say it. Today will probably be more prophetic than informational. I really felt the Lord speak to me very specifically about today's study. We just want to be obedient to the Spirit's leading. We're going to open this series by simply reading several biblical accounts where angels were directly engaged with people. Even Jesus in his humanity needed the ministry of angels. Pastor Jason, would you be willing to help me read today? King James, New King James, whatever. Just not the Quran. Just read from the Bible. Starting at Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thee, as the seeds, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.
Amen. Thank you. Notice the first statement, first verse. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham. Sister Shana, would you read for me, hon, Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 39. Matthew 13, 36 through 39. You'll need to unmute. Thank you.
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered."
That's good. Thank you, hon. Thank you. Notice, please. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That's you and I. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Pastor Scott, Luke chapter 22, verses 40 through 44.
Luke 22, verse 40. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground."
Okay, thank you.
And when,
that's good. Thank you. "Then an angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening him." And the next four words tell us why. "And being in agony." God sent an angel to minister to the man Christ Jesus when he was in the garden praying in battle, wrestling in his own flesh because of what he knew he was going to have to deal with. But notice the next four words. What was the result of those that angel strengthening him? The Bible said he prayed more earnestly. To me, that's powerful. Sweat was literally dripping blood down his cheeks, falling to the ground. Now, here's just a quick point. If Jesus needed the ministry of angels, who are we to think we don't? Just saying. If Jesus needed their help, their strength, who are we that we think we don't need them? Now, Pastor Tom Andrews, would you help me read, please? You've got the biggest assignment here. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Acts 10, verses 1 through 8.
"There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Mm-hmm. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him..."
Pause right there for a minute. Andrews, pause. Now think about this. This is not a man that's baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Not yet. This is a man who is a Gentile who is seeking after God. He's giving himself to prayer, fastings, seeking God for direction, to know who he is, and how does God answer his prayer? He gave him a vision with an angel speaking to him in the vision. Think about this. Now, this is 10 years after the first century church was started. This is 10 years after Pentecost. This is the birthplace of the Gentile revival. I would love to tell you that it was the hunger and passion and ministry of the apostles that started the Gentile revival. But it wasn't. It was the hunger of a Gentile that did not know Jesus, that did not know God, but on the inside of his heart wanted to know him. And I pause right here and tell you, there are some Corneliuses in our world. And we've got to have the spiritual sensitivity to seek them, to find them, to know who they are. But it's interesting how God put this Gentile in connection with an apostle. He used an angel. Think about that. He used an angel. Go ahead, Pastor Tom, and continue reading. Why don't you pick it up at verse 3 again.
About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa.
Now, this Bible study today is not a doctrinal study per se, but there is a very important point here that I think is interesting. God used an angel to speak to Cornelius and connect him with an apostle. He did not, however, allow the angel to tell him the plan of salvation. He only sent him to the apostle to go get the apostle, which was Peter, to come back and bring him God's plan. This is very important because God did not give angels the right or the authority to preach the gospel. That's our role. That's our responsibility. But he did give angels to be in partnership with him for the sake of the kingdom and to be in partnership with us for the sake of the kingdom so that the gospel can be preached. Does everybody understand that? You all see that, what I'm talking about here. Now, watch what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew church and spoke specifically about angels. In fact, The whole first part of Hebrews chapter 1 has a lot to do with angels. But we're just going to pick it up at verse 13 and 14. Sister Diane, Andrews, would you read for me Hebrews 1, 13 through 14?
And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet?
Now notice verse 14. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead. Read.
Are they not all
Wait. Who are they? Who's he talking about? He's talking about the angels. Go ahead. Read it again.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?
Who are those who inherit salvation? That's us. Paul specifically says, he's really asking a rhetorical question. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve or minister for those who will inherit salvation? It's a very powerful statement. Now, it's amazing to me how we have been so quick to accept demonic activity in our lives, but not angelic activity. The same Bible that records Acts 2:38 that we love and adhere to, along with all of the key doctrinal text, that same Bible is filled with the ministry of angels and their involvement with God's people throughout history. This is especially true after the church was born at Pentecost. God created angels for the purpose of partnering with him to carry out his eternal plan just as he did with us. When I say us, I'm talking about his bride, the church. It's interesting to note there are 200, those of you that have been through PI, you've read some of these stats because I wrote this in one of the lessons of PI. It's interesting to note there are 275 direct or indirect references to angels in the Word of God. 275, at least. They are mentioned 34 times. They are mentioned in 34 of the 66 books of the Bible. They had personal contact or interaction with people at least 104 different times in the scriptures. It was totally normal and expected by the patriarchs, the prophets, as well as the apostles, to interact with angels, to see them, and even talk with them. Of those 104 times where it's recorded they interacted with people, 37 times were in the Old Testament. However, 67 times were in the New Testament, the majority of those times being after the church was born. Remember when the Apostle Peter was in prison? He was locked in stocks and fetters and he was in prison, and the church prayed that God would deliver him out of prison. God did deliver him. He came to the house, and one of the, I believe it was one of the young daughters, someone looked out And when they saw Peter, now they had been praying for his release, but they didn't believe it, even after they had been praying for it. And their response was, it's Peter's angel. Now, I've heard it said that the reason they said that is because angels look like people attached to angels look like the people. I know I've heard that taught. I don't necessarily believe that. I do, though, however, believe that the occurrence of angels was not as uncommon to the first century church as it is to us today. That's all I'm simply saying. They were quick to say, no, that's not Peter, that's his angel. Now, as we read in our text from Matthew's gospel, Jesus said the angels will be directly involved in the last day harvest. That, to me, is significant. And one of the main reasons why the church needs to understand this amazing subject. You see, if that's true, and we know that it is, we need to see and understand how they're part of God's prophetic plan and master plan for the last days. Now, in this series, our focus will not be an attempt to prove the existence of angels or their ministry to the church. I think I'm looking at people who are Bible believers, so I don't need to try to convince you of their reality. Instead, what we want to address in our series and begin in this first lesson is simply asking the question, why angels? Why angels? By understanding how they were used by God throughout history, I believe it gives us great insight into how God will use them in the last days in partnership with the church. Now, I want us to take a moment and I want us to pray one more time. And I want us to ask God for a very specifically a fresh understanding of our times, and especially for God to give us an understanding of these amazing spirit beings and how they can better partner, how we can better partner with them. But Jason, would you lead us in prayer right now for this?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for a revelation, God, Lord, of the working of angels in these end times, Lord. God, I pray as you brought it to the first century church, God, let us become the Book of Acts church that you called us to be, God. God, there are many signs, miracles, and wonders done through these angels, God. God, I pray, God, that you would release these angels as you see fit to churches, to ministries, to life, God.
Yes.
God, struggle we've had in our own life, God, I pray that you would send angels. God, I pray you would send angels on this
yes.
Zoom call, right?
Yes.
To minister hearts that are broken, lives that have been beat up, God, and I pray a revelation. God, of these angelic visitation, God, I pray angels, God, upon every room, every home, every church, every office right now for the glory
yes.
of the Lord. In
yes.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Almost without exception, there will be a process called time between the calling of God and the fulfillment of that calling. The same is true concerning a prophetic word that God would speak to us and the fulfillment of that word. The same is true in the birth of a vision that God would give us and the fulfillment of that vision. As each of us journey through the process, and the Lord reminded me that February 20, just a little over a week away, will be our personal 47th anniversary when God called us to preach. 47 years in that process. So as we journey through the process, God gives us special God moments, divine encounters that He designed to assist us and be a spiritual catalyst to help us along the way. These special moments will forever shape our lives. They'll shape our ministries and will in fact direct our future if you and I will allow them to. As a result, we will never be the same. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have had some God moments in that process, in your journey, in your process? You see, these very special God moments are not just the result of a good church service or a good conference. They are, however, directly connected to God's timing. These special moments many times will radically change us. Brother Grant, I can't help when I look at you on the screen today to remember 1997 in Annapolis, Maryland. You were there that day when a radical change, I believe, came to both of our lives as a result of that meeting. These special moments are not just something we take for granted. God desires for each of us to be in partnership with Him in a very role-specific way. It's our contribution to God's eternal plan. Again, I'm not trying to make this personal, but I just referenced that week in 1997. Many of you who are on this Zoom study today or listening by recording, you're from other nations. The reason that we have been able to have a personal relationship with you, I can take it back to that moment in 1997 when God called us to begin to travel from nation to nation to nation to nation. I had no idea at the beginning of that journey who I would meet, who I would come in contact with, how long those relationships would last, and what those relationships would even be about. But I know this, God used these special moments, this special moment, to allow us to be in partnership with Him in a very role-specific way as a contribution to God's eternal plan. Make no mistake about it. God will use every one of us if we will allow Him to. He will position us as He wills. However, He will never force His will. It's by choice or it's not at all. Little did I realize that the first 20 years of our ministry was only a training ground for what the next 26 years was going to involve. However, through that 20-year period, and now the past 26 plus years, I could count on one hand those very special times but unmistakable times. That when that time and that moment was over and the Holy Spirit lifted, nothing was ever to be the same in our life and in our ministry again. Again, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You've experienced those times. You understand it. See, this is also true for a local church, for regions, nations. God chooses special moments in time to strategically move his people toward a specific direction and a specific purpose. And regardless if you understand it or not, angels are used in those moments, just as he used them to minister to those he was going to use. Now, let me give you a personal reference to something that the Lord quickened to my mind as we were preparing for this study. My wife and I had left the country. I don't really remember where we were at. I'm not sure if we were in Europe, if we were in Africa, if we were in Asia. I don't remember where. But it was a midweek service. They were getting ready to start the service. And somebody walked up to Pastor Sean Eller, who was the pastor at the time, and said, "I feel like Bishop and Sister Ellis is in danger." And it was only a moment or two after that, somebody else who did not know what had already been said to Pastor Sean, they walked up to him and said, "I really feel like we need to pray for Bishop and Sister Ellis. I feel like their life's in danger." And almost immediately after that, a third person walked up and said the exact same thing. Pastor Sean just got up and he spoke to the congregation. It was getting close to service time anyways. But he said, listen, he told them what had just been told to him by three different people. And he said, "I feel like we just need to just go into prayer right now for Bishop and Sister Ellis." Our daughter Angela, you can imagine being our daughter, how she felt. And she went up into the balcony of our sanctuary and she knelt on the floor and she began to weep and she began to intercede and she began to pray for her mom and dad. And while she was in prayer, she took her hair down. And those of you that know her, she has extremely long hair. I think at one point it even touched the floor, it even touched the ground. Of course, she's very short. So, but she undid her hair, she said, and she stretched it out before God, just stretched it out. She certainly had been taught and understood the scriptures where it talked about how that women had power with the angels because of their uncut hair. And she stretched that hair out before God and she said, "God, this hair has never been cut. Will you please protect my mom and dad?" And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now as I'm just speaking this. And she said, as she had her hair stretched out, began to pray that prayer, the Lord gave her one of the very few visions she's ever had in her lifetime. And she said she saw me and her mother. And she said, on both sides of us, over us, on each side, were two very large, almost giant-like figures that she understood were angels. And she said, the Lord spoke to her in that vision and said, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. And she felt the peace of God come over her and that fear left her. And of course, the rest is history. We're speaking to you today from our home office in Canton, Ohio. Since that time, however, and I want to share this with you, since that time, as we have traveled through the years from nation to nation, we have had multiple people, probably at least 4 or 5. Different times, different periods, different nations, different people who had never heard me tell that story. Those people came up to me after we had finished ministering in a particular place. And they referred to me by name, sometimes by bishop, sometimes by whatever. But they said, while you were ministering, we saw 2 very large angels standing on both sides of you as you were ministering. They described the exact thing our daughter saw. I'm just saying that to tell you, you've come too late to try to convince me angels don't exist. I know how valuable they are in our lives. I can tell you at times, just this past weekend before ministry, feeling challenged, feeling almost almost fearful. It was just like a struggle going on. I was standing on the platform. I first went into a corner just trying to feel after God, and I just felt, just walk down, go to my wife. She was in the sanctuary, in the pews, and I walked up to her. I put my arms around her, and she knew exactly what that meant. And she began to pray for me. And as she began to pray for me, I felt that angelic presence that I have recognized so many times come around me and pour strength, and all that fear and all that worry and all that pressure left me, just knowing that that angelic help had come and was there and was ready to minister. And God ministered this past Sunday in a great way. Here's what I feel in the Holy Ghost to say right now. There are people on this Zoom study. You're watching live. Some of you are watching by recording. That God's hand is especially directing you at this specific moment and time. You may even feel that things have been very stagnant. You may have been battling fear. You may have been battling struggle. And it's seemed over the last little while that God has been a million miles away. However, you hear me when I tell you that is changing very soon. It could be that before today's study is over, or before this series of studies is over, that when you step back into your pulpits, or whatever your ministry involvement may be, you're going to feel or sense a fresh anointing that will empower you, and you will minister at a completely different level. Others will recognize that there is something different, it will all almost be as if something got on fire, as if something was plugged in and you begin to feel this fresh passion and fresh fire. You will speak and you will preach with an elevated authority and an elevated anointing. You will in fact recognize the difference. Others will recognize the difference. You won't have to say a word to them. But Bishop, what does this have to do with angels? It has everything to do with angels. Because at some point during this series, God is going to release angels to come alongside of you and empower you at a greater level than you've ever experienced before. Those of you who will be in Ukraine for the Vision Conference coming up at the end of the month, there will be warring angels that will be manifested in that place. They will manifest God's presence. You see, there are angels of His presence. There are warring angels that will fight for us. They're going to engage with you. They're there beside you. Scott Grant, Alan Calhoun, Sergei Tomev, Sasha Tomev, when you step into the pulpit, you're going to know there is something that's beside you. You're going to know that there's a presence that's with you. Let the boldness of God flow through you and use you in a powerful way. There will be key moments moving forward in the days and months to come that you will find yourself in prayer, preparing to minister, and you will sense God's presence in a very elevated way. Why? Simply for the purpose of increasing your faith and increasing your boldness to do what God will tell you to do and to say what God will tell you to say. These are the last days. But wait, Bishop. Can you give me Bible for any of this? I'm glad you've asked that question, because over the next few weeks, that's exactly what we're going to do. You hear me, please. The last thing I want to do is to try to hype you up with some spiritual hype. However, I do desire to be apostolic. I want this study to be an apostolic study. I don't want us to be afraid of what God may say or what God may do at any given moment or time. You hear me, please. You hear me, please. We must be the church in these last days. We need to utilize every tool, every gift, every spiritual weapon that God has given us to fulfill His great purpose and His great plan. As I wrap this study today up, I want us to look at what Paul said to the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might, with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our day. As challenging, Pastor Sergey, as the war is right now in Ukraine, this is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let God be true and allow God to use whoever and whatever means he chooses to fulfill his plan on the earth. You, the angels of God, God himself, we are all in a partnership with him. We've all got specific roles, specific things to do, specific roles we play. And we've got to understand this if we're going to truly play our role in a very specific way as the Lord would lead us. Again, today is more prophetic probably than what the rest of the study is going to be like. But I want us right now to unmute. I want us to lift our hands. I want you to allow the Holy Ghost to flow out of your voice right now. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on, open your voice. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, don't be afraid to open your voice and pray. Don't be afraid of what may come alongside of you right now while you're praying. Don't be afraid of the presence of the Lord. And even the presence of an angel that you might feel right now come alongside of you, to empower you, to strengthen you, to speak revelation to you in the name of Jesus. 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 God, we thank you. God, we love you. God, we magnify. We magnify your great and holy name. We magnify your great and holy name. Without you, we can do nothing. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody feel you want to share something? Brother Calhoun, I'm looking straight at you. Has the Lord given you something to share? If not, no pressure. Just want to open the opportunity.
Yeah, I the only thing that the Lord put in my spirit right now is called simplicity. That, and I'm probably the worst at getting to know him, walking with him, and then that gives us strength to get busy, and then we become too busy to get simple. And we, it just like this, if we can get back to the simplicity of in the morning, waiting on him, and letting him speak to us and through us, and then doing what he says. The angels are not busy with the things I'm busy with. They're busy with the things I'm busy with that God has sent me to do. Does that make sense?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Bishop, there was a young man that prophesied over you that there would be young men that held your hands up from around the world. And this is that moment.
Yes, sir.
This is that moment.
I want to pause here, Brother Scott. I want to pause here and tell everybody he was that young man in 1997, that week I talked about. And I know you wouldn't say that, but I want them to know that this wasn't something that just happened last week. Go ahead, Brother Scott.
I literally, I don't know who brought it up. I think it may have been, well, it was our friends from Minnesota. They're talking about Saint-Martin last week. Of course, I say it different than Alan would say it, but I literally have not had that on my radar screen ever. I've thought of Guadalupe. I thought of other French colonies and places. It's never even come across my radar screen. And as much as we were joking about a nice hot weather spot to visit, it hit my brain. You know, Alan and I have been ministering together for years, and the Lord's called him to Dutch territory in the Netherlands and me to Quebec City. But yet each of us will intersect at different times, and we're coming together in Ukraine. But the reality of what the Lord's up to, those angels are messengers. The word message really is the essence of their vocation. While they're there to protect, obviously, they're there as messengers. Even the New Testament opens up with, our New Testament, Revelation opens up with the angel to the church of such and such rite. And that's where we come together in the message. That the beauty of who he is in the world would be spoken by us, his people, and the gospel will find its place and mark in the hearts of, and lives of other people. But wow, there's so many intersecting places and parts, even on this call, in Ohio, of course, where Bishop is now, in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Germany, in Ukraine, in the Philippines, in Malaysia, literally around the world. And the Lord has brought us, each and every one of us, to the kingdom for such a time as this. And he has a word to speak to each and every one of our lives. And we just need to hear it. And like Alan said, do what he says.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Grant. Thank you for reminding us of that which we knew and understood. And I've connected it in the past, but at this moment it did not connect to me until you said it again. Thank you. Anybody else as we close? Anybody else as we close? Brother Doji from, Pastor Doji from Singapore, I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer, but you were there in 2008. That was quite a DCD for sure. But if you have something you want to share, not necessarily about that, but if you have something you want to share, but I want you to pray for us as we close out.
Thank you, Bishop. I'm just reminded of the ministry of the angels again, because it's so very real to us. Even when you came last time to minister. So thank you so much. And let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. For once again, oh God. Hallelujah. Just reminding us, Lord. And God, hallelujah, giving us awareness once again in the atmosphere, oh Lord God, wherever we minister, in every places, oh Lord, represented the Lord God in the Bible study today, Lord Jesus. Thank you once again, oh God, hallelujah, for highlighting to us, Lord, what the angels can do, oh Lord. And I'm reminded, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, of the power of uncut hair, oh God, wherein, hallelujah, we have power, especially the women in the fellowship who got power with the angels, and we can attribute it, Lord God, for the growth of every local church, oh God. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, once again, Lord. Hallelujah, for the message you have given to Bishop, Lord God, to share with us, Lord. And Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, once again. We will, Lord God, obey your word and follow, God, Jesus, your leading to us, Lord, especially in the end times. And we will be the church, oh God, in these end times, Lord. And we will be apostolic, oh God, in all that we do, especially, hallelujah, for the ministry of the angels, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus, I pray, oh God, hallelujah, that let there be the presence, oh Lord, and give us the awareness, hallelujah, every time, oh God, we are in need of you, oh Lord God, and breakthrough, we need a breakthrough in our ministry, Lord Jesus. Thank you once again, oh Lord, hallelujah. May we leave this place, oh God, hallelujah, empowered by you, oh Lord God, and with the angels, oh Lord God, that is ready, oh Lord, to minister, oh Lord God, to the heirs of salvation, in Jesus' name,
Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Doji.
Hallelujah.
And thank you to everyone, and we will, I know some came on early, some came on late, some had to leave early. But we will be sure as soon as we finish here, we will be sure to get this sent out to you to hear again if you want to. All right. We love you all. We appreciate you all. God bless you. We'll see you next time, Lord willing, in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.